Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And good afternoon. Election Day coming up next month, and we have invited the candidates for New Orleans City Council runoffs and the Clerk of Courts runoff to join us for a debate ahead of early voting starting. Today, we're focusing on New Orleans City Council District A and the runoff between Holly Friedman and Amy McCarron. Newell, we're going to ask a series of questions of the candidates. We'll give you about 2 minutes to answer each question, but if Newell or I feel like there needs to be a follow-up question, we reserve the right to do that. We'll allow you both to have an opening statement and a closing statement. So let's go ahead and get started. Amy McCarron, welcome. Your opening statement.
Thank you so much. So I'm Amy McCarron. I'm running for City Council District A because, like you, I love our city. I was born here, I was raised here, and now my husband and I are raising our six-year-old twins here. I went to Ursuline and Anoka, where I studied musical theater, and I started working in restaurants when I was 16 years old. While earning my degree in hotel, restaurant, and tourism management, I worked my way up from a line cook to catering sales manager for Ralph Brennan Restaurant Group. And after that, I became a financial advisor for Prudential. During that time, I met Councilmember G. Russo, where I served as the president of Young Leadership Council. He was also a past president of that organization. And when he took over as the chair of the budget committee for the city council, he said he became a lawyer because he couldn't do math and hired me as his full-time budget and policy director, a role that I served in for the last 3 years as his policy until May of this year. So obviously, we are at a pivotal point in our city with this budget crisis, and we are in desperate need of a council member with the financial background and experience to jump in on day one, work with the new administration, and figure this out. When Council President J.P. Morrell endorsed me recently, he said it best, my deep knowledge and experience of the budget is urgently needed, and I'm ready to be a 24/7 council member who works for every neighborhood, not just a wealthy few, not just for special interests, and not for political insiders who've held this city back. Now is not the time for a general practitioner. We need my critical budget experience to move us forward, to create a government that actually functions, is held accountable by strong leadership, and provides the basic services we deserve. And I believe I'm the only choice in this race to make that happen.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And Holly Friedman, your opening statement.
Hi, thank you. I'm Holly Friedman. I'm running for City Council District A. First, I want to thank all of the District A voters who supported and voted for me in the primary election. I won 74% of the precincts in every single ward. This shows that my constituent-focused campaign, one built on results, accessibility, and accountability, truly resonates with our community. Too many families tell me the same thing. They love New Orleans, but we are paying high property taxes and yet not receiving our most basic city services. When elected, I'll stay focused on those basics. Repairing our infrastructure, keeping neighborhoods safe, and ensuring your tax dollars are spent effectively and with complete transparency. I bring real experience to this race, 4 years working for Councilmember Joe Geruso and over 10 years in the criminal justice system. I'm also getting a master's degree in public policy from Tulane currently. I'm a problem solver, and I'm ready to deliver results for District A on day one. Thank you.
Thank you. Newell Norman, where, like we said, we're going to ask a series of questions and allow the candidates about 2 minutes to answer them. The first question you'd like to ask.
Well, what I'd like to do is cover first your councilmanic district, right? And I know that there's going to be an overlap of challenges and important issues in the district to the city, but what do you first see as the emerging issue in District A?
Holly, we'll let you go first.
Right. Well, when I decided to run for this position, I sent out a Google survey to all the neighborhood leaders and said, what do you think? So I know what I think is everybody's neighborhood problem, but I want to hear it straight from the neighborhoods. And number one on that list is infrastructure. They can't get streetlights turned on. They can't get their roads fixed. Flooding remains a consistent problem. I think these are things we need to absolutely look for and listen to the constituent that these are their problems. The second one on the list was crime, public safety feeling. What are we doing to ensure that they are safe while they're in their neighborhoods, while they're out visiting local businesses? How can we make sure they feel safe in their neighborhoods?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time in the district. I didn't just do a survey. I actually spent time knocking doors. I spent time at meet and greets, with neighborhood meetings. And Holly's right. The number one thing that I heard at the door and at these neighborhood meetings was infrastructure and basic services and then safe streets. The biggest thing, you know, that I like to talk about and I've talked about with many residents is the fact that we have two electricians that work for the city. So right now, and we don't even have a current contract for that because our contracting system is such a mess. And people are getting frustrated because you can go to a traffic light and it's not safe to walk. It's not safe to drive. And those are the basic things that make it so hard to live here every single day. And so we have to have a plan going forward on how we're going to get some of these people back in-house to provide these services. We can't continue to rely on these outside contractors that cost a lot of money and we're not providing the basic services. And that is what residents want. They want the basics.
Thank you, Amy. Holly, to follow up with you, how would you like to address these infrastructure issues, whether it's the electrical issues, the flooding issues, the drainage issues, or the other infrastructure, the road repair issues? How do you fix that?
So first, I wrote a policy paper in getting my master's program, and it's all about transparency in making New Orleans and all the departments a transparent, smart city. Basically, we need to have our city workers work smarter, not harder. And right now they lack leadership and they lack a design plan for working there. So what I want, and Seattle has done this to great success. Seattle became a transparent, smart city and increased city services by 40% within 4 months of becoming a transparent, smart city. And that doesn't cost a lot of money. I mean, you may have heard we're facing a budget crisis right now. And so we need to have plans in place that don't cost a lot of money. Instead of hiring more people, we need the current people to be working smarter, not harder. Public dashboards for everything. If we can track an Amazon package, we can track where your pothole is in the queue and make sure that you're going to get those city services. Becoming transparent leads us to become accountable. And the more that we are accountable is the more we're going to do a better job working for the city.
And Amy, you mentioned only two electricians on the city payroll now to fix all of the streetlights, stoplights, and other issues. Any other solutions you have already developed that you think can address the potholes, the drainage, and all the other infrastructure woes?
Yeah, so I think we've got to really work together. So if you have heard of the City Services Coalition, they talk about a capital budget, a capital cabinet. And I really like that idea because there is currently no input on with the city council on the capital budget. But we are the people that get the phone calls and we know what streets need to be fixed and we know what potholes need to be fixed. So we really need to work together with the capital cabinet and the new administration to figure out what are our plans. We've got to have a short-term plan on what money is available in our next bond proposition that is going to be on your November ballot to fix some of these streets and provide some relief to residents. And then what is our plan going 5, 10, 15 years in the future and how we're going to communicate that with residents. So this is going to take someone that has a financial planning background to really move us through on how we're going to fix these things. And I think it can be done, but we've got to be able to work together and make sure that we've got the funding situation corrected so we can get it done.
Newell?
In keeping with your council district issues, development of West End. I mean, it's fallen into disrepair. It's been an eyesore for a number of years. I know that Councilman Geruso has made several attempts at trying to resolve that issue. What are your plans as it relates to the development of West End?
Amy McCarron?
Yeah, so I spent some time out there with Charles and everybody, and I talked to Stephanie Hilferty, or Representative Hilferty, and Councilmember Geruso about this too. And really, it seems like most of the residents want kind of a mix of some development, but also some preservation out there. It is a park, and it is a beautiful space. I live right near there, so it's a place that my family and I go often. And growing up there, of course, we went to Burning's Restaurant, and it was a great, fun family place to live. So I think, you know, I would love to see maybe some recreation. Maybe a small snack shop to where, you know, you can go have lunch with the kids and then play a game out in the park. I think it really needs to be, though, a partnership with the neighbors and making sure that we're bringing what they want as well. I know, you know, a former opponent of ours, Bridget Neal, kept talking about how the water pressure over there has been low for years. And so that's something the city really needs to look at and help invest in that infrastructure out there to make sure that whatever investment and development we can do, that it can be sustainable.
Holly Friedman, your thoughts on the future of West End?
Yes, thank you. So I also met with the neighbors out in the West End, walked with them in a thunderstorm in that area, and enjoyed just the beauty of that area. It's fantastic if you're not aware of it. And I also spoke to Councilmember Joe Geruso, State Rep Stephanie Hilferty, and Hans Lutzelberg, councilmember in Jefferson Parish. What are all their thoughts? What are all their plans? And what is working for Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish? And how do we become good partners with this? One thing that the neighbors in there, they do want some preservation. They do want to protect the wildlife. They do want to open that up, though, for everyone to enjoy. So I did introduce them to some business people on Avery Island to see about what they could do to partner and make a bird sanctuary, bamboo area, something that brings that beauty back that's significant for that area.
We're talking with the candidates for Council District A as we have them debate the issues ahead of the November runoff election. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Newell Norman. When we come back, we'll make sure to talk. We keep mentioning it, but really drill down on this massive budget deficit that had the New Orleans City Council today have to take the extreme measure of asking the Bond Commission for an emergency loan just to pay city employees and keep New Orleans up and running. That and the other issues facing District A coming up in our council district debate on W.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. And this hour, we're talking to the candidates for New Orleans City Council District A, Holly Friedman and Amy McCarron. The New Orleans City Council just minutes ago voted to ask the Louisiana Bond Commission to allow the city to borrow up to $125 million after warnings from the Cantrell administration surfaced that city workers may not get paid at all again until the end of the year unless there is an infusion of cash into the city coffers. Newell, let's start the questioning on these budget woes.
I guess we'll just start with a generalized question. Your observations about what we have seen unfold. I mean, you're out in the neighborhoods. You're talking to people, their observations, your thoughts, and what you think needs to happen.
And Holly, you get to go first this time.
I mean, I think for one, let's just start with the lack of transparency. You know, people keep saying that we didn't know. And now we're facing where city workers who are working hard may miss a paycheck. I mean, these are just unacceptable. One thing I do want to point out, though, in 2025, the budget was passed with only $57,000 dedicated to overtime. And when in 2024, we spent $47 million. So I think that is a question for my opponent who was there to advise Councilmember DeRusso. Like, why was there only $57,000 budgeted for overtime when we spent more than that in 2024? So things like that transparency and saying we didn't know. The BGR put out a report in April of 2025 and said we are headed to a budget deficit. There was warnings if you listened to the watchdogs out there. And I think the lack of transparency, the lack of accountability, quite frankly. I mean, we are in a budget deficit, and I feel like all we're hearing and seeing is finger pointing right now. Residents don't want that. Residents want answers. They want to know how their basic city services are going to be met. They want solutions. And so they want people to work together right now to figure out that solution.
Amy McCarron, your initial statement on the budget woes that the city is now facing?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I served as Councilmember DeRusso's policy and budget director, and I have gone back through the last 3 years of reports that we received on a monthly basis from the administration. And I'm like, how did we get here? How could this happen? And in February, just like we were talking about before, is, you know, we were told, no, it's not really going to be a problem. In April, consistently, you know, this council has asked the questions. What is going on? Have you stopped this overtime? Why was it not budgeted previously? And we can't get a firm answer. And, you know, we had the legislative auditor come in and he says that it's $160 million. So we have obviously been led to believe something different going on than what we were presented previously over the last 3 years. And that's a huge problem going forward. And I have a list of solutions, you know, on how we can tackle this going forward, because at this point we are where we are. And we've got to move forward to fix this so we can provide basic services for residents.
So how would you, if elected, prevent future mayoral administrations from misleading, lying to, misinforming, or just being wrong and presenting faulty information that then leaves the city in a position where we don't know if there's going to be any more money the rest of the year?
Right. Yeah, so we have got to strengthen the power of the council to have more control over budget and transparency. We've got to have real-time spending reports, budget to actuals instead of end-of-the-month reports. And Council President J.P. Morrell said this yesterday, that we should go for a charter change where we can actually lock the budgets once it's passed and agreed upon at the end of the year. And all spending has to come through council and be agreed upon and have a public hearing every single month. And I agree, we definitely need to look at that. And then changing the reports to actuals, revenue projections that are actuals on a monthly basis as well. The other thing is, we're going to have to take a hard look at which basic government functions are essential by restructuring city operations to reflect that, part of which includes our reliance on expensive outside contracts. We've got to, you know, from watching the budget hearings, I understand the administration has just suggested 30% cuts on every single department. But, you know, I disagree with doing that. We cannot at this point cut a revenue-generating department like safety and permits. It's already a disaster there. We can't cut their budget and tell them that they can't function and that we can't build things, we can't get businesses open. So this kind of a view of every department is the same is just so wrong. And I'm encouraging this current council, as they go through the rest of the budget hearings, to actually press the administration on that and really go through with each department and say, what are your needs and how does this reflect the basic functions of government, because we cannot continue to go on this way. They're going to have to make some hard choices, and people are going to be upset. But, you know, this is the hard choices that we need to make in order to move forward.
Holly Friedman, same question. How do we prevent this from happening in the future where the council says The administration told us everything was fine. Repeatedly told us that the budget was balanced. There was money there, and then suddenly we find out, no, all of the money is gone.
Yes, I mean, I think it's a little bit more complicated or nuanced than that as well. Again, the BGR wrote a report and published it in April of 2025 and said we are headed to a $100 million budget deficit. They might have been wrong on the totals, but they're correct about the deficit. The BGR is somebody council and the mayor's administration should be partnering with daily. But we do need monthly reports. We do need more accountability as far as being on the council. The fact that we are just going to sit back and let the two administration, mayor's administration, council finger point at each other, I don't think we have time for that. We need to figure out a solution and work together at this point. So I'm hesitant to saying it's one or the other. You know, but again, I raise the question, you know, my opponent says she's been there for 3 years. But why did you advise Joe Geruso to approve a budget for $57,000 in overtime when in 2024 it was $47 million? That was spent.
We will have an opportunity later in the debate for you to ask one another questions. And we'll, if you choose to ask her that question at that time, you'll be able to do so. Newell, on the budget, any further questions you have?
Well, I would just, with a follow-up, both of you seem a little bit reluctant to go back and query these folks that were responsible on the administration side. You know, that they're not measuring things. It's hard to manage something that you're not measuring. You're not transparent. How are you going to go about remedying this and providing something different if you don't really know what actually has happened? I mean, I've been a little bit disappointed in, for lack of a better term, the interrogation of these individuals, because they have led this council down a primrose path that now they find out. And I was looking at some videos, WDSU had some on, about the April meeting where Gilbert Montano and the CFO sat there and said, this picture's rosy. We've got it all worked out. We've got a plan. In fact, we're going to end up with a $100 million fund balance, which then on January 1st becomes surplus. That's a $260 million swing, right? From $160 million now, $163 million deficit, away from $100 million surplus, right?
Holly Friedman, you get to go first on this one.
Yeah, I think we need to call those people in and have some real questions. You know, just like saying Sewage and Water Board, they should get now and pay us back. They should have always been on the hook to pay us back. This is not something that in a budget crisis we need to be figuring out how to get money. If there's money on the table, we need to get that now. And it's just a little bit too much of delayed reactionary instead of being proactive on this. And again, I go back to the city council approved a budget in 2025 last year, and that budget wasn't accurate. That budget was not, it wasn't accurate, and it's leading us into this position today. So yes, I would bring in the city officials and ask them the hard questions.
Amy McCarron.
Yeah, I mean, the council has subpoena power, and I recommend that they subpoena all these people and subpoena all the records. And going forward, the council should have full access to all the financial systems that the CAO's office, the budget office, everything that they have access to, we should have access to actually look behind the computer screen. Because, you know, right now, the reports that we receive, they're given to us on a PowerPoint. So we have no access to back-end data on what is actually going on with budget to actuals on a daily basis. And I know that the CAO has all this because they have to. They can project and they have payroll. So they have this data that needs to be shared with us. And if we need to subpoena them, or if we need to put a charter change, just like Council President J.P. Morrell said, to have that power to look into their books, then we need to do that. And we need to beat down their door until they let us see. Otherwise, you know, we have a big problem on we're not going to be able to move forward if we don't have the accurate information. So, yes, we need to be more aggressive. I hope this current council will do that. If not, that is something that I will take on as the next council member, because I have that, a decade of financial management experience. And so we desperately need that moving forward.
This whole situation has clearly demonstrated vulnerabilities in the system. and demonstrated that we don't know what we don't know, because the council's relying on the mayor's office to provide the data, which in the long run turned out to be inaccurate. We don't know if that was intentional or not. Either way, there was bad data provided. And we also found out that the city's over-reliance on federal grants can then leave the city in a huge hole when things fail on Capitol Hill, as they have, and the government shuts down. All of that have being said, assuming that the bond commission does approve the city borrowing the money to make ends meet till the end of the year, whichever one of you gets elected, you're going to be sitting on a council now that has an even bigger deficit next year, because that's money that has to be paid back. That's not money that just, oh, we borrowed it, okay. And we, by the way, have to find a lender willing to lend the city the money, even if the bond commission approves it. All of that having been said, and this time we start with you, Amy McCarron, if you're on the budget, if you're on the council next year, how are you going to manage the fact that there's going to be significantly less money to spend?
Let me add one thing to that, with the understanding that this is a short-term loan that gets paid back within a year.
Correct.
It's a revenue anticipation loan.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going out 5 years, 7 years. So you're talking about a $125 million hit to the budget.
Plus 6%.
Yeah. So on that note, I do know, I was at the hearing yesterday, and our bond counsel said that it's a, we're not be taking out the full $125 million at the time. It would be as needed. That doesn't negate the fact that we're still going to have to pay it back, but it's not all at one time. The other thing is, we have to be able to work with the administration and be in the room with the administration when all of these budget conversations are happening. And actually, Joe Threat mentioned yesterday that they're having daily cash flow meetings, and I question, are they including the council at this point? Because they weren't including us before. So are they, is someone from the council, current council, in that room for these cash flow discussions? And I think that's really how we're going to have to move forward, is being in the room with the administration. We can't have this back and forth. We've got to be in there.
But back to my initial question, if you're elected, where are you making not only the $125 million if the city borrows the full amount, but also realizing the budget is shrinking from year to year? Where do these cuts come from, or where does the revenue come from to fill the gap?
Right. Well, I think I said earlier, and so we have to streamline and maximize the revenue collection. So, for example, we haven't done audits on our sales tax collection. I think, Newell, you had mentioned this a week ago, and we should be doing that often, so we understand, are we actually collecting the sales taxes that we are owed? And I don't think we are. It's quite obvious that we are not. So we've got to be able to collect our fines and fees. To pay your fines and fees, you have to have a cashier's check. You can't just pay it online. You have to, come down to City Hall and do these things. Like, we don't make it easy for people to pay us, and we don't actually go after them when we are owed things. We have an Uber settlement that we haven't gone after. We have $87 million from Sewage and Water Board that we just now sent a demand letter on for 30 days, and that they've owed us this money since 2010. So we have to find these creative ways to figure out how we're going to collect that revenue. And we are going, like I said before, we're going to have to work with each department and say, if you're a revenue producing, then we're going to have to keep you with your current budget so you can produce this revenue and keep us going. And then we're going to have to make some strategic cuts to make sure that we're prioritizing the basic functions of government.
Thank you, Amy McCarron. Holly Friedman, how would you handle, if elected, the shrinking budget in terms of cuts and or revenue increases, or a combination thereof?
Yeah. So one, let me just say, no city wants to see the city workers miss a paycheck. And so they're the ones that's keeping our city running. But we can't also rely on these short-term loans to fix our long-term failures. So with $125 million note is a symptom and not a solution. It's the direct result of 3 years of deficit spending, bad forecasting, and a 2025 budget that didn't even fund for basic overtime. So when I'm on the council, I want to support strict conditions for things like this. Full transparency. What is our repayment plan? You know, they're talking about borrowing. What is our repayment plan for that? And where is the accountability? I think we need a set of fresh eyes on this. I think that people have been on the council for a while. I think we need a fresh set of eyes, a new set of eyes, and look at this problem in a different light, because what we've been doing for the last 3 years is not working right now. Going back to the sewage and water board, why, so if they've owed us the money since 2010, are we just now getting around to writing a demand letter? I mean, 2010. We can't just look for money when we need it. That's too late. We need to look for money when we're in a position to have time to ask for the money and have time for them to collect themselves and get it to us.
Thank you, Holly Friedman. We're talking to the candidates for New Orleans City Council District A as we debate the issues. When we come back, we'll take a look at their vision for the future of New Orleans and other issues as well. We'll also let the candidates ask each other a question here on WW.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
UL. We're talking with the candidates for New Orleans City Council District A as they debate the issues. Holly Friedman, this next question you get to answer first. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the future of New Orleans? Paint a picture for our listeners of, if you're elected to the City Council, how things change from the way they are now, where we have a city that still more than 20 years after Hurricane Katrina mm-hmm. is relying on Katrina dollars, seeking extension after extension from the federal government to fund basic city services, a city that's losing population after plateauing. We're now seeing people more leaving than moving into New Orleans. What does the future of New Orleans look like?
Yeah, so it does look bleak right now in New Orleans, right? We're facing this huge budget deficit, crisis, catastrophe, really. But at the same time, the residents are already feeling like we're not getting our basic city services. They're already talking about how hard it is to live in New Orleans, paying high property taxes and yet not receiving basic city services. So it's already hard times. And now with this looming budget catastrophe, it's going to be harder. It just quite frankly is. We're going to have to make cuts to personnel. We're going to have to really rely on essential employees and demand, actually, frankly, more of them and not less of them. The police department, who I work with a lot as my role at the DA's office, they're already feeling the constraints of budget constraints, and they're already feeling the back-breaking pain of having less police officers than they need on the streets. So we're already at that point where we're feeling down, and now we're about to make it harder for everybody. And that's just the way it is. But the rainbow I look towards is making New Orleans into a transparent, smart city. Let's start using data. Let's start using technology. Let's start making our city workers work smarter, not harder. Let's start making a real plan for these city workers to face the budget cuts, but come out on the other side of it, working at a smarter city and giving services back to our residents.
Amy McCarron, what is your vision for a future New Orleans? Paint a picture for us.
Yeah, so my vision for a future New Orleans is one that actually works, that is providing our basic services, where I don't get up every day and have to go around what my kids call the volcano in the middle of our street, you know, the one, the manhole cover where everything is sinking around it. I imagine a place where everyone's kids have a place at Nord where they can go in their neighborhood close by to actually have programming that these kids want to see. So I want to bring these kids to the table in District A in every single neighborhood and ask them, what do you want to see at your Nord facility? And we want to make that happen. And, you know, these are things that we can do. And I think people want us to do by providing the basic services. That is how we keep people here and keep kids growing up. Look, I grew up here and, you know, I remember actually being able to ride my bicycle down the sidewalk. But as I've been going around the city in knocking doors, you can't do that. You can't even walk down some of these sidewalks. There's a big, you know, patch of grass instead of a sidewalk. It's these little things that just start to add up on a daily basis where you wake up in the morning and you're angry at something in New Orleans. The traffic light doesn't work. There's construction in Lakeview right now. And one street is blocked off, just like it was in Carrollton, and the other day it's not. So, you know, just having a city that actually works, at holding people accountable and making sure that we're providing these basic services, and that's my vision.
Newell, your next question for our candidate.
Well, I'm going to talk about grants. It seems to me that the city of New Orleans has a collection of folks that are just running around at the state and running around at the federal government, and whatever grant they can get their hands on, they go grab that grant as though that doesn't come that doesn't come at a cost. There are costs affiliated with the management, the administration. We've seen what it's done for cash flow, our working capital. We don't even know how much working capital we need because these grants, it's hard to associate what's actually happening. Some, you know, you have to expend in order to be reimbursed. Very few actually advance the dollars. What are you going to ask of the next administration before we start approving and getting involved in this grant? I call it the shake the can budget. You know, it's like we're at the corner shaking the cans, looking for any dollar we can get our hands on. And we're not even focused on whether or not the services that the grants are going to provide are even aligning with what we do basically in the city.
Amy McCarron.
Yeah, so I think with the grants, and especially, you know, we had the American Rescue Plan Act dollars, which we use a lot of temporary programs for, but we
still haven't spent it all either.
No, we still haven't spent it all. I know that they're looking at hopefully repurposing some of that at this point. But, you know, our reliance on grants to fund or be a long-term solution can no longer continue. If it's a short-term program and it makes sense to where we have an employee that is paid for with the grant and not through general fund. I think there's been a lot of grants in the past that we've used general fund money for these employees to administer the grant. And that's we obviously cannot continue on that track. We have to make sure that if there is a grant that we're going to accept, that we've got to have employees covered in that. And then there's got to be the expectation that, look, this is a temporary thing. This is not something that is sustainable for a general fund unless it actually really makes sense and we have the funding for it. And so we've got to do a better job. We probably need experts in the administration going forward that know how to manage grants and know how to plan and budget for these things, because we can't keep relying on them to move us forward.
Holly Friedman.
Sure. Look, if we are going to accept a grant, we also have to abide by the terms and restrictions of
sure.
those grants. But that's part of the problem, right? I think what they're seeing is free money. Let's take it. Don't really read the fine print. And then afterwards, they're left struggling that they did not live up to the terms of those of the conditions of the grant money. So, yeah, I mean, council, again, needs to ask more questions. We need to ask more before we're just accepting money or funds. We need to really look at it. I know sanitation wanted to accept a grant, a federal grant, for about recycling. And it was actually going to cost New Orleans more to have that recycling program if we accepted the grant than if we didn't accept the grant. Right now, recycling's great. I love recycling. But that's not what we need to focus on right now at sanitation. People want just their trash being picked up. So why are we focusing on something else because a grant is out there. Let's focus on the basics. Let's get us back to where we need. We don't need to be chasing a grant. If a grant is good, that's great, but let's not chase what they consider free money.
We have seen, particularly over the last several years, a council and an administration at each other's throats. We've seen fighting, finger pointing back and forth, and that may also be part of the reason that we're in the budgetary crisis that we are now, that we don't see working together for a common cause. It seems like it was always a fight, and many, many issues ended up in court instead of in a conference room being settled. Holly, you get to go first on this one. How do you solve that problem where you make sure the council and the administration, regardless of who the mayor is and who's on the council, can and must work together for the betterment of the people they represent together?
Yeah. So I'm a relationship person. I believe in having strong relationships. I don't have to like everybody. I don't have to get along with them, but we do have to act professionally. The fighting, the finger pointing is never going to have a solution at the end of that. So I think we could have hard discussions. We could have transparent discussions, but we need to have those discussions. We need to be able to work together. The finger pointing, the blaming, the fighting. I've talked to the residents of District A. They are tired of it. They want us to work together. They want City Council to work with the mayor's office. They want to see us being a team. So we have now bringing all the problems we have right now, but bringing that together and finding solutions.
Amy McCarron.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like it's very well known that this cannot continue, this dysfunction of the finger pointing and going back and forth and having no relationship with the administration. And I'm not just talking about the, you know, administration as the mayor. It includes department heads. You know, there has been a lack of relationships with department heads. And I think this is actually a great opportunity for this next council that will have to approve all the next Mayor Moreno's picks for department heads. And this is a perfect opportunity to get on the right foot and build relationships with these department heads and say, look, I'm going to have an open door policy with you. I want you to be able to come talk to me and vice versa, because that is what we are going to need going forward with any kind of budget planning, with any kind of planning on what the expectations are going to be for these next 4 years. And look, I've been a president of a board, a big, you know, leadership board. I've got experience with relationships on the current council from working with Joe. And so that's, you know, something that's going to be very, very important to me.
Amy McCarron, do you have a question for Holly Friedman?
Yes. Okay. I will ask you. When you told me and the office that you were running for, that you decided to run for the seat, you said that somebody recruited you and that you decided to do it. Would you like to share who it is that recruited you to run for this office?
Sure. I'm happy to do that. Really, it was my husband who really thought that, you know, I always think of my husband. I'm a shy introvert. So being a politician was never something I thought much about. But Joe Geruso, our council member, set the bar really high for being accessible, being dependable, and being accountable to his constituents. And I felt that that was something that needed to continue. We need a leader, and we need experience that was going to continue along the path that Joe's leadership. And so I actually tried to recruit my husband to run for this position. And because he is a very outgoing guy and he loves that. But instead, he was like, you know the job. You have the experience. You have the experience in criminal justice. You have the experience at City Council. And I think you are the person to run.
Holly, your question for Amy.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to go back to kind of what I mentioned before. Like I said, the BGR set out a report in April of 2025 anticipating a budget deficit. As budget director for Councilman Geruso, did you advise him on this report that there was a deficit coming? And did you advise him that the budget for 2025 only had $57,000 budgeted for overtime when in 2024, $47 million was spent?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at some reports right here. And according to the legislative auditor, the fiscal year budget included $9.8 million for overtime, but actual expenditures were totaled $47 million. So, of course, no, I didn't advise Joe on, you know, that we should have that $45,000 overtime. This is a clear indication that the administration overspent, and that has been then shown by in the reports yesterday, because Joe Threat has said that in February, when they told us about this overspending from last year's budget, that they didn't even put a cap on overtime, that they still were running this overtime tab. So no, I didn't advise anyone on that, and that wasn't actually budgeted that way. We were budgeted for a specific amount, and the administration overspent.
Holly Friedman, you got about 30 seconds. We can make a closing statement.
Oh, sure. So thank you. I believe government should make our lives easier, not harder. I'm not a politician, as I said earlier, but I am a constituent-focused, data-driven, take-action person. And I promise you this, I will show up, I will listen, and I will fix the problem. It means making the city budget transparent so residents can see where their tax dollars are going and hold leaders accountable. I've walked the streets, I've listened to the concerns, and I've turned those conversations into real action and found solutions. So if you want a leadership style that is accessible, responsible, and results-driven and transparent, I am your candidate. Together, we can make New Orleans work better for the people who live here. I'm Holly Friedman. I'm asking for your vote on November 15th, and I'm ready to get to work for District A on day one.
Amy McCarron, your final thoughts.
Thank you again to Dave and Newell for having us on the show. It's been a great, great time chatting with you guys. So I'm going to leave you with this. Our issues are solvable. We can do it. But it is going to take electing a leader on the council that understands how to use the tools of the council to manage through these muddy waters. Someone that has the independence, the tenacity, and someone who will work tirelessly 24/7 to get this done. We cannot continue to accept the old way of doing things. It is time for a new direction, and I believe that I'm the candidate to get us there, and I'm asking for your vote. I'm number 35 on your ballot on November 15th. Thank you so much.
Thank you both for being here. Thank you, Newell.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, candidates. Enjoyed it.
We'll see you all tomorrow. I'm back at 5 a.m. Newell's back at 10 a.m. tomorrow here on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.